Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 8. It's page 833 in your pew Bibles. This is precious. This is precious to be in His presence like this. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 8. We're going to read through verse 17. That's page 833. And let's read today. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Today we begin the season of Advent. And as I said earlier, it is also the same day in which we come to this altar and take the bread that represents His broken body and the cup that represents His shed blood. This day only comes one time a year when we can come to the manger and come to the cross in the same morning. So today, as we begin this season of Advent and we'll close this service with communion, we recognize that both Advent and communion call us to consider God's gift and how we should respond. And I think the first example we see of this is the example given to us by the shepherds. They were tending their sheep on the outskirts of the city of Bethlehem. Sherry and I were privileged earlier this year to go to Bethlehem. Very interesting this year, because of the war breaking out, there are no Christmas decorations this year allowed in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is under the authority of the Palestinians, not the Jews. In fact, as you come into Bethlehem, there are signs, billboards and signs along the road that say, "Jews keep out." Our bus driver was Jewish. He had to drive us to the outskirts of Bethlehem, and there another bus driven by a Palestinian picked us up and drove us into Bethlehem. And the Palestinian tour guide took us around Bethlehem, and we were able to stand in Bethlehem and look out and see the hills that Luke is referring to, where the sheep were being tended on that momentous and eventful night. Now, there are various estimates as to the population of Bethlehem at the time that Luke records this. They range everywhere from 300 up to 2,000. But this we know, that the city was jam-packed because of the travelers who were being called back to their home city to partake of the Roman census. And yet in all of those people who were gathered, in all of those righteous, law-abiding, God-fearing Jews that were sleeping that night in the city of Bethlehem, God chose shepherds who were on the outskirts of the city. And it has made me wonder, why did God choose them? Why didn't He choose the priest of the synagogue there? Why didn't he choose some of the religious leaders who were gathered there? Why didn't he choose some of the people who were followers of the law and who were intent on not only keeping the laws of God, but the laws of Rome, and that is why they were in Bethlehem that night? Why did God go outside the city and choose lowly, poor shepherds? And I think it is because he knew what their response would be. He knew, first of all, they would worship. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 said, "When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger." You know, I wonder if our nativity scenes have it correct. Have you ever paid attention to the shepherds in your nativity scene? Most nativity scenes are incorrect because they have the kings and the shepherds there. But have you ever looked at the shepherds? I looked at our nativity scene at home, and I also looked at the one right in our narthex. Do you know the shepherds are not worshiping in the nativity scene? The kings are worshiping. They've laid down their three gifts, but the shepherds are standing there. I looked at ours this morning, and there are two shepherds in our nativity scene. One of them is standing on the outside with a sheep over his neck, and the other one is knelt down at the very edge of the manger, and he's peering into the manger just like this. And I thought about it, that the shepherds really represent a lot of Christians. We're busy with Christmas. We're busy carrying the gifts and carrying the package and picking out the tree and getting upset, as one of us did this past week, when a set of lights won't work. And I won't tell you which one it was, but he's behind the pulpit today. That's the only thing I can tell you. But we're carrying Christmas on our shoulders. And oh yeah, we know that it's about Jesus, but I've got things to buy and parking places to find and gift cards to ship out and crowds to fight. I'm carrying Christmas. Or else we're like the one who stands back some. I want to be part of it, but I don't want to really get in that inner circle. I just want to kind of stand here and behold. We are the shepherds, at least the nativity scene shepherds. So there's your homework assignment. Look at your nativity scene when you get home and move one of the shepherds right by the manger. I have a feeling that when they came in and they saw Mary and Joseph and that child lying in the manger, I have a feeling they went down on their knees. You see, historians and church leaders tell us that the shepherds were tending sheep that had been designated for sacrifice at Passover. Now they have seen the true Passover lamb, and it all is making sense to them. What we've been doing in the fields for generations has now come to live among us. There he is, the Lamb of God. They worshiped. A.W. Tozer said this, and I love what he said, and I quote, "Any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven." Any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. I believe they went down on their knees. I believe probably a couple of them that were a little more contemporary and maybe a little charismatic even got down on their face. Because this is who we've been waiting for. So the first W of Advent season is we worship. We declare His majesty. We declare how great is our God. We declare that He is Emmanuel, God with us. We worship and adore him because of who he is. But the second reason I think the shepherds were chosen is because they also fulfilled the second W of Advent. They not only worshiped, but they became witnesses. Luke 2:17, when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. They were the first witnesses, the first missionaries, the first evangelists, the first people to go into their culture and say, "We have seen the Christ child. We heard the angels. We saw the angels. We heard the announcement. We heard the song. But we have seen him with our own eyes, the very Son of God who has come to live among us." They begin to witness. They begin to tell others. You know, we have a newborn. I don't know if Noah's aware of it or not, but we have a newborn in our church now. Many of us had the opportunity to meet that little boy Friday night. And he ate a big old plate of ham and a slice of key lime pie. But have you ever noticed about how the news about a newborn spreads? Every Wednesday night when we would have choir practice, while Noah and Lauren were waiting on Bridger to come, there would be always somebody that said, "Have you heard anything about the baby? Have you heard anything about Lauren? Have you heard anything about Noah?" "No, they're still waiting. Everything's fine. We're still waiting." And as soon as the news went out that Bridger had now come to earth and was living among us, I mean, I was seeing it on Facebook and email, and it was going everywhere, all through the church and all around the earth. People were responding, "He looks just like Noah." And others said, "No, thank God, he does not. He looks like Lauren." Others were saying, "He looks like his great uncle Charlie." And I'm just thinking, I don't know who these people are, but they are spreading the news about this baby. Can you imagine the excitement that the shepherds had when they returned and people said to them, "Where have you been?" And they said, "We have seen the Son of God. We saw the baby lying in the manger. We were there. We came close to the baby lying in the manger. The Son of God, Jesus, the one who has come to save men and women from their sins." They began to tell others about it. Everywhere they went, they were broadcasting it. "We have found him." One of my favorite responses found in the Gospels is in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus comes across the boat, comes to the shores of Gadara, and there he's met by the man who is demon-possessed, by a legion of demons. And Jesus casts those demons out. You know the story how they ran into the pigs and the pigs ran off the cliff and the people come out of the city. And I love the way Mark describes it. He says, when they came out, they found the man who had formerly been possessed by demons, clothed and in his right mind. And they tell Jesus, "Get out of here. Leave. Depart." And the man who had had the demons, it said, Mark said, he begged Jesus, "Let me go with you. Let me get in the boat. I'll follow you. I'll be a disciple. I'll do whatever you tell me. Let me get in the boat." And Jesus said to him, "No. You go home and you tell people what God has done for you." And Mark puts it this way, Mark chapter 5. When Jesus was getting into the boat, the man begged to go with him, but Jesus would not let him. Instead, he said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how good he has been to you." And I love the response of the man. Jesus said, "Go home to your family. Tell them." But notice what the man did. Said the man went away into the region of the 10 cities known as Decapolis and began telling everyone how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus said, "Just go back and tell your wife, tell your kids, tell your mother-in-law that you're back. Go back and tell your family." But he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop with his family. I can almost see it when he knocks on the door, and his wife opens the door, and he stands there with this big old grin on his face, and he's normal, and he's just beaming, and he grabs her in his arms, and she says, "What happened?" He said, "Let me tell you, I met Jesus." And they sit down to eat supper. And it wasn't pork because all the pigs had ran off. They were eating tofu that night. And she fixed him a big plate. And she said, "Honey, sit down and eat with us." He said, "Hun, I'd love to, but I got to go tell somebody else. I can't sit here knowing my neighbor next door doesn't know Jesus. I got to go tell him." And he went and told, Jesus said, he went through 10 cities and told everyone what the Lord had done for him. Oh, I believe Jesus, I believe God picked the shepherds to proclaim to come and worship Jesus because he knew, first of all, they would worship. And secondly, he knew they would tell everyone they met about Jesus. And then finally, I believe God picked them because he knew they would be filled with wonder. Luke 2:20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it has been told them. And I like the way the Contemporary English Version puts it. It says, as the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said. They were filled with wonder. G.K. Chesterton said this, "We are perishing for lack of wonder, not for lack of wonders." We are perishing for lack of wonder, not for lack of wonders. I've been thinking about it all week. Have I lost my sense of wonder? I have, as a boy, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. As a boy, I was baptized. I grew up in church. I've heard the story. I was in Christmas plays. I was in Christmas cantatas. I was in church. We were in church all the time. And it is so easy to lose the sense of wonder. The sense of wonder. You know, we plug the lights in on the tree, it's all decorated, and we say, "Oh, it looks wonderful. It's full of wonder." But I will tell you this. I don't want to lose my sense of wonder. I don't want my heart to be so cold and calloused and hard and rigid that when I come to this season of Advent, it's not about the gift, it's about the gifts. It's not about his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. It is about the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. It is about him. It's about that gift. It's about his presence. I am so grateful today for his presence in this house. I am so grateful that he has chosen through his Spirit to meet here among us. I am so grateful as this candle was lit that we were reminded we have hope. We have hope. Let's don't lose our wonder. What if during this Advent season, each of us began to emphasize for the next 23 days worship, witness, and wonder? Worship, witness, and wonder. You know, I think it would be very difficult to get stressed out at Christmas season if our focus was on worship, witness, and wonder. So I encourage you, as we prepare our hearts to come to this table, let's make a pledge in our own hearts to God. Father, this Advent season for me is going to be focused on you. If I'm with the children Christmas, that's fine. But if I'm not, I'm going to accept that. This is about you. If the turkey gets cooked perfectly, that's fine. If the turkey burns to a crisp, it's okay, because I'm determined that it's going to be about you. That this Advent season will be filled with worship. That this Advent season, I will be a witness of what God has done for me. And this Advent season, I will once again be filled with wonder at the gift of God. Heavenly Father, may we be reminded throughout this season that you chose the shepherds because you knew they would worship, they would witness, and they would be filled with wonder. And Father, we have experienced far more than the shepherds ever did. They saw you. We know you. They saw the baby. We know him. So, Lord, may this Advent season, beginning today as we come to this altar to take communion, may this Advent season be a season of worship, witness, and wonder. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Ron is coming to lead us in a hymn.